The stock market's down, but Wayne, what I want to know is, are the rivers down? It sounds like the Delta's blown out around the causeway. How's it doing in the upper part?
Well, you know, Joe, the middle's holding up. You know, we got some high water up to the north, and, you know, we got some rain forecasted for this weekend. So, you know, I think that'll continue to be puffed up, obviously. But man, down here on the south end, you know, we've had this cold front this week and, you know, had that strong north wind. And anybody that went across the causeway, you know, was amazed at how the water, you know, was blown out. So the bass fishing has just really been super this week. Fish are congregated up in the creeks like we've been talking about the last few weeks. And, you know, real susceptible to crankbaits. And a lot of people been throwing the lipless crankbaits, you know, like the rattle traps and the red-eye shad. That's real good this time of year. And but, you know, there are days when you have to slow down and throw the plastic. So, but, you know, it's been a great week. I've seen a lot of good fish in the, you know, 3 to 5 pound range.
Wayne, last week you were talking about that. You were saying you basically use kind of a soft plastic to prospect these creeks, and then when you find fish, you switch over to a crankbait. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
Well, what are those fish that are in those creeks? What are they actually feeding on?
Well, you know, this time of year down there, I mean, their primary forage is still going to be the little small crabs, crawfish. You know, there's very limited amount of bait fish from the standpoint of shad, anything like that. I mean, you just don't see that down there. So, you know, there's still some shrimp in the lower delta, and, you know, they feed on that. But you know, the primary forage for those fish is, like I say, the crabs and crawfish. And, you know, that's one reason these crawfish crankbaits are just, you know, absolutely, you know, phenomenal on this delta year round.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I was talking with Richard Rutland, and he was discussing about the tide change down in the bay, and how around the tide change he needed to be a lot more patient and really kind of wait on the bite to get that water moving, wait on the tide to get that water moving, and that really triggered the bite. Do you see that kind of thing in the Delta with bass?
Yeah, you really do, Joe. I mean, it's a scenario that unfolds where, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, we've had some real good tides where it's been, you know, moving out early in the morning and bottoming out pretty early. But, you know, that'll really turn the bite on for the first couple hours of the morning. But then all of a sudden, boom, man, it shuts down. So, you know, that kind of plays into what Richard was talking about. That's when you have to transition and really think about, okay, you know, I know these stretches that I was catching them on the hard baits, you know, fast-moving baits primarily. You know, you just got to back off and slow down with some plastic. And, you know, typically you can pick right back up catching those fish. You've just got to alter your presentation both with the bait and the speed of which you know, present it.
Now, you've talked about crankbaits, you've talked about soft plastic. Is there any other types of artificial bait that will work well right now?
Well, you know, the spinner baits are still working. I mean, there's, you know, I love the, you know, the, of course, any time you're around any of the vegetation down on the lower end, you know, the inline spinner baits, the Snagless Sallies, and the crawfish, a professor color, you know, they make one that's black, blue, and purple. The bruiser, that's a great color. You know, I throw those spinner baits a lot. And then there's some other spinner baits that I like to throw. And, you know, even with the water temperature in the 50s, these fish, you know, primarily because of the fact that, you know, when you start looking down on the lower end, the causeway, you know, when you look at those creeks, I mean, we're talking about most of the time you're not fishing water over, you know, six foot deep. So, you know, you can make good presentations even with spinner baits, you know, in the fall and the winter when the water temperature is in the 50s.
All right. Well, what about this weekend? We got some rain, looks like, coming in. You expect any changes?
You know, not really. I mean, you know, the fish, you know, like we've been talking about, and, you know, I know we discussed it last week. I mean, these fish have, they've pushed into these creeks, and, man, they're not going anywhere. So it's primarily just a scenario where you've got to go in there, find the stretches that they're on, and, you know, determine, you know, what you can throw, you know, for them to bite. And so I don't see that changing any between, you know, now and this weekend.
All right, Wayne, as always, great report. Thank you much. Have a okay. Have a good rest of your week.
All right, thank you, Joe.
All right, we're going to head to Lake Martin, talk with Captain Mike Walker. Captain Mike, how's it been going this week?
Pretty good, pretty good. Had a lot of fast action. Numbers are good. Size has been a little hit and miss.
This time of year, that's pretty normal, though, right? You typically look at for a lot of numbers, and you get your bigger fish more towards the spring. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll pick up some big fish here and there through the next couple months, but typically it's all about numbers right now. We're going to have a lot of action, some mixed fishing where we're going to catch a crappie or a bass here or there. So we'll really have a lot of variety during these trips.
Well, where are you finding those stripers on Lake Martin right now?
Good areas, like for this time of year, are mid to upper lake. Maybe not in the northern part of the lake, but that mid upper part. Young's Island, New Hope Church. You got a couple other areas around the park, state park. So anywhere you've got a depth of water between 100 and the shallowest 30 feet. So really key in on points, underwater flats that kind of cut, that you got a good shelf line on. Tons of different tactics for this time of year between trolling, downline, and our pulling boards.
Now, I want to back you up to what you were just saying about underwater flats. In down here on the coast, when we think of flats, you know, a lot of times we're thinking of areas of 4 to 6 feet of water where the depth does not change very much. Of course, you get down into South Florida, when they're talking flats, they're talking, you know, 6 to 12 inches of water in a lot of cases. And when you say underwater flats, is that what you mean, that this is just an area that there's just not a lot of changing in depth?
Yeah, I mean, it can even be deeper than 4 to 5 foot flats. I mean, if you've got an area that you got comes off of the main channel and drops pretty drastic down to 20 feet, then you've got a real long shelf line. To me, I still consider that a flat, even though we're not looking at shallow flats.
Right.
We're looking at deep water flats. It's just an area that you can see they might hold on the break of that drop right there at the start of the flat if it's a deeper water one. But any area that you've got a long run and a long flat shelf line, depending on the depth, are areas we really target a lot.
What are those fish, the fish that you're finding on those flats, what are they orienting to? Are they orienting to bait or to a drop-off? What are they orienting to?
I mean, different time of year, different things. Some fish could be coming up to flats to feed. On the deeper ones, they could be setting to ambush fish on certain, right at the edge. It could just be an area that they're moving. I mean, stripes consistently on the move. They could be swimming up and down the lake a mile and a half, kind of back and forth throughout the day, or they could just be working a 600-yard area where they're just doing circles for 4 hours.
Okay.
So really just more or less working those, keeping up with them.
Now, you mentioned those fish. You mentioned trolling, and so are you catching those fish trolling right now, or are you doing more just how are you catching them?
I mean, you can catch them any way you want to right now. I mean, basically, you've got some deeper fish that are still a little deeper than most. You can downline and fish live bait directly above them. The schools are big. You can jig artificials while you're downline and live bait. Or you can pull planer boards and look for some of the bigger fish that might be a little bit shallower. Probably not going to catch as many fish, but...
All right. Last question for you. If you had to pick a 2-hour time period to go catch striper this week, what time period is that?
I mean, with the weather we got coming up, I would pick late afternoon between 3 and 5 o'clock to 4:30.
All right. Well, good deal. Cap Mike, if folks want to book a trip with you going into Christmas, how do they do it?
Give us a call at 205-362-8322 or check out our website, lakemartinstrikers.com.
All right, Cap Mike, if we don't hear from you, have a good Christmas, buddy. Thanks for the report.
All right, y'all too.
All right, let's head on down a little further south. We got Patrick Garmison on the line. Patrick, how you doing today, buddy?
What's up, Joe? Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic.
You staying warm out there?
Yeah, you wear enough layers and throw some frog togs on top of it, and you can keep the wind off of you and keep the heat in. Nice and comfortable today.
Well, I was talking with Bobby Abrascato, and he was telling me the Delta was tough. Where you been fishing? Where are the speckled trout coming from right now?
I have I've been mostly staying in Mobile River for the last 2 weeks. I have checked in the Delta a little bit, but I'm not seeing much of anything. There's just not much sign of bait. Really not seeing much on my fish finder, so I'm just using that Ray Marine to kind of scan the bottom and see if I see any fish, and it helps out. You know, it helps cut down on the amount of time you're going to waste in probably dead water.
Now, Patrick, we've all got depth finders on our boats, and I'll be honest, I don't use mine a lot when I'm inshore fishing, but I know you guys do, and I know it helps you catch fish. So when you talk about seeing fish, give me a scenario when you see fish and then how you approach trying to catch those fish.
Well, we use the fish finder quite a bit today, actually, and one thing that I'm looking for is like bait balls, and the bait balls are there. If as long as you can find these bait balls somewhere near the bottom, the fish seem to be right on the bottom or dead on the bottom, right underneath those bait balls. So if you can, I use side scan, down scan, and traditional sonar. I run it all three at the same time, and that helps me be able to kind of differentiate between bait fish or just structure on the bottom, and then the down scan, you can usually see the individual game fish underneath them.
Really, that's awesome. So yep. when you see these bait balls, you see these fish, you know, they're on the bottom. How do you actually, you know, how are you fishing for them? Are you tight lining, you know, something with a split shot? Are you fishing a jig on the bottom? What are you doing?
Both, actually. Earlier last week, mostly all of our damage was done with a jig. Jigs that use an Arkansas shiner or something green or chartreuse seemed to be all effective colors for me. But just kind of mixing up the pattern between like a split tail, a straight tail, and a paddle tail, and each kind of school of fish seems to key in on one particular bait. So as long as you got two or three guys with you, everybody can try a different lure at each spot. We probably fished, out of all the week last week, we probably caught 5 fish on live shrimp. And yesterday and today was the exact opposite. They put most of our fish in the boat.
Really? So what do you attribute that to? Why the switch?
I don't know. And it actually kind of goes against what I've seen historically. Usually when you have a cool down, the fish would go more towards a jig and less towards a shrimp. But, I mean, basically with me running charters and not necessarily knowing the skill level of everybody, I like to have some bait on there on the boat. And this today it ended up not being a skill level thing. It just ended up being that's what the fish wanted more than eating the plastic. The way I'm rigging that is I'm using a split shot. But most of the bites still came on the bottom, so even if you used a heavier weight.
Do you like a treble hook, or do you go with a kale hook? What do you use when you're doing that tight line rig?
I'm sorry, you're saying?
Yeah, when you're using that that split shot rig, you're fishing that live bait on the bottom. Are you using a treble hook, or you go with a kale, or do you find
a
better success?
Using a kale, and the reason why is because you are running across some small fish, and that treble hook will gut hook them. And a lot of these bites, you're not even feeling. Like, you're gonna jig it up and down real slow, and then the fish ends up kind of swimming off with it. Or in the case like I like to use braided line and use high visibility line, and you can actually see it. You can actually see the line either moving, or you can maybe see it jump just a little bit and then tighten up and put the hook in the fish.
Now, that's something I haven't tried, high visibility line. I've always kind of been of the mindset that I was going to spook fish with that. Do you go with some type of a fluorocarbon leader or something to hide it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll run about a 30-inch fluorocarbon leader, say 17 to 20-pound test, and then just a split shot and a number 6 kale hook, and I got the job done for us.
I gotcha. Now, last question for you, and then we're probably going to have to go to a break. When you're working those jigs on the bottom, are you just bumping it along the bottom? Are you doing anything in particular, or are you just doing like a standard, you know, jigging motion?
I do kind of a twitch, a hop-hop, and then let it sit. Hop-hop, let it sit. And usually they're hitting it while it's sitting on the bottom.
Awesome. All right, Patrick, I appreciate that report. That's a really good one. We've got one of my favorite contributors on the line, Captain Bobby Abruscato. Bobby, sounds like the Delta's kind of mixed up right now. What's been going on with you?
Well, it's definitely got me mixed up, brother. I can tell you that. Man, I ran from that place yesterday with my tail between my legs. We didn't do anything up there, but I redeemed myself pretty well today, man. We went back down to where, when I always get in trouble, I always run back down and fish some, you know, medium depth waters. Again, with the slick, man, the slick really outproduced anything. Well, actually, not even outproduced. It's the only thing we caught fish on all day, all morning this morning. We left real early and fished under some lights this morning early, and then fished some boat slips off the main channels. And, man, it was pretty cool. I don't know why I get fascinated by this, but we had ice on the deck of the boat, and why that's cool to me, I don't know, man. If somebody was from Michigan, they'd probably go like, man, I can't wait to get rid of the ice. But I get kind of psyched up when I got a little ice on the deck of the boat, and you're bundled up in the morning and catching those fish under the lights. That was kind of cool.
Bobby, I think that's called masochism.
Yeah, well, that's right. Is that I'll have to look that word up, man. Your vocabulary is bigger than mine, JoJo. But I don't know if it's good or bad. But anyway, I'll look it up, and then I'll thank you or whatever next time we talk. But yeah, man, it was good. You know, if you're going to fish, unless you're going to plan on getting wet this weekend, I would probably try and get it in tomorrow or maybe early Saturday morning. You know, the good news is, at least from the middle part of the bay down through the sound, the water's just beautiful. And the fish are pretty well where they're supposed to be, you know, and doing kind of what they're supposed to be doing. I turned my water temperature gauge on today. I just glanced at it, and I was marking this morning at about 4 o'clock. I was looking at surface water temperatures in the 52 degree range, you know, so we're getting there as far as like water temperature range into that. I don't think that's the true water temperature, but that's telling me that water temperature's got to be at least in the mid to upper 50s through the water column down there. And again, that's kind of what motivates the fish to be where they're at and eat what they're eating, you know. So again, at least from the middle part of the bay down, they're kind of doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Bobby, I want to back you up a little bit. And you mentioned that y'all left early and fished lights. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I kind of got a friend gave me a report of some fish that were under some lights coming up in some medium, when I say medium depth waters, I'm talking about 8 to 10 feet of water where you can still fish kind of a surface or a mid water type lure, which is what I like doing. And so I figured we could probably go do that for a couple hours and still catch an early morning topwater bite, you know, just something to do a little bit different. And the guys I had today, I had to catch a plane to get out of town early, so we kind of just figured we'd get out real early and do what we could do and get them out of town in plenty of time, you know. So really worked out good, man.
Yeah, you know, we typically, you know, the general consensus on fishing the lights is it's something you do in the hot weather, so that's interesting to hear. Now, you talked about that slick lure. Were you using that around those lights as well?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. I actually tried throwing top water, you know, kind of outside the light was showing. Sometimes you throw the top water right into the light, it spooks everything. and didn't do anything at all on the top water, but that slick lure, you can really throw it right. We were throwing it right up against the old dock pilings, you know, or up against the dock, and it wasn't spooking the fish or the bait. It lands so naturally soft. It sounds to me almost like a mullet landing.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw it in there and let it settle for, you know, a second or two, which would put it about a foot or two under the surface and start working in it. It was pretty cool because the fish would – you'd see the fish flash and come up and get it a lot of times before you even felt the bite.
And you were using the weightless hook or the weighted
hook?
No,
I was using – we were using weighted hooks.
Okay.
And you could – today you probably could have – this morning you probably could have used a weightless hook. You probably could have done it, but I just had the rods already set up. And you fish with me to know how bad my eyesight is in broad daylight. Me trying to tie a knot at night is a disaster. So we went with what I had tied on. But I still think the fish kind of wanted it under the surface a little bit. We didn't have any problems at all when you threw it out there and started working it back with them, hitting it when it was a little bit below the surface.
Very good. All right, Bobby. Well, thanks for that report, man. That's a good difference. And
okay.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, JoJo. Stay dry this weekend.
Well, yeah, we're going to try. All right, let's head on up and get back on fresh water. Talk to Joe Dunn in Miller's Ferry. Joe, where are the crappie at, man?
Well, you missed out. That last Sunday we did real good. We got just ahead of that high water, and we caught, I don't know, we had about 20 pretty good ones, and they were on that first ledge. You had to hunt around like we talked about earlier and find a place to get out of the swift water, certain places. Matter of fact, first stop I was wanting to fish, I dropped my buoy, and the water was just cruising through there. I said, ain't no way we can fish here, so we had to roll up. Got on the outside of the bends, looking in and looking behind some of the little points of stuff on the outside bend, and you find where the water had slowed down in places. You could see where it even stopped. You could watch some of the leaves and trash on top. And like I said, we'd go to bottom bouncing in there, and we picked up, like I said, some real nice ones. And well, it was, but that water temperature has done drop down now. It's in that mid 50s and going toward the lower 50s right in there. And the bite was, if you're not used to it, they don't really, it's not a, you know, a thump. It's more of a, you feel your line get light. If you feel your line get light, go ahead and set the hook. It may be a limb, but it could be a crappie too. But anyway, that's where they're at right now.
Now, you mentioned bottom bouncing. Does that mean you're jigging for them, or are you trolling for them as well?
No. Just strictly you dropping that 1 ounce lead down and come up with your crappie hook tied out and putting your minnow and your tube jig on it first and then your minnow right now. But now the water come back up, you know, middle of this week, and if we have this big rain that's coming, it's going to be messed up again. So, you know, it's just you got to watch these short windows and watch those water levels and what this is going to do with that water temperature too, where it's at. It's going to start shoving some of those fish up in some of those bigger creeks that doesn't have a whole lot of current coming out of them, like Alligator, like on down toward the marina, and then Mill Creek, Foster Creek, some of those creeks like that in, up in Buzzard Roost. Sooner here in a little while, you're going to be able to switch over and go to trolling in those places. It's going to be unshoved enough fish on up in there. But I don't know if this next high water is going to be high enough to mess it up or not. Let's just cross our fingers and hopefully don't get a whole bunch more fresh water right now.
Yeah, I know. We've had a lot of rain for this time of year. Usually it waits a little bit longer, so it's been a little different this year. Now, you were talking about that first ledge, and you know, I'm guessing you're finding structure in those areas. That structure you're fishing, is this natural tops, or are these some artificial type, or both?
No, it's all natural stuff that's been, you know, fell off the bank, washed down in there. And like I said, you got a first ledge is around 18 or 20, and then it'll drop off. The next one will be down there around at 30 and 35, you know, getting close to kind of the very bottom of the bottom, actually, you know. But that they're up on that first ledge right now. And sometimes they'll hang around there even longer. Even with that high water will make them get up there, you know, and get up there and hide. If we wasn't having a whole lot of high water and it got real, real cold, they'll drop down on that second ledge sometime. But with this real swift water, it's going to make them come up and try to find something to stay behind. And, you know, one ledge we fished, we had a lot of big rocks on it. And when you're feeling with that weight, which it takes a lot of feeling to understand it, but you can feel the bottom, and you feel a, if it's an old soft thud, you know, or if it's a good solid bottom. And most time, that's where they're going to be, on those places with that good solid bottom ledge type structure.
Well, Joe, just before you came on, I was talking with Bobby Abrascato, and he was talking about fishing some lights real early, obviously before it got daylight. Now, are crappie, are they real time dependent? Are you doing better, you know, say early in the day, late in the day? Is there anything to that, or you pretty much, can it happen any time?
It can pretty much, with us now, it could happen any time, because we're not dependent on tide. We're not dependent on, you know, obviously water temperature is cold, so it could happen, you know, really, like I just said, any time. You're not dependent on anything really right now.
So it's not something where, you know, you got to get up real early or anything like that.
You can
just get out there when you can do it.
Yeah, that's the main, when you can. What I like to do is, like, watch before these fronts come through. And you go to fish, you know, right before the front, and you know, I use call those numbers and check, see where your water levels are, and that's what kind of dictates it right now.
Right. All right, Joe. Well, hey, man, that's a good report. I'm sorry I missed my chance to come up there, but I'm gonna take you up on it here before too long. I appreciate the report. If folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
Hey, just call me here at Dunn Sports, 334-636-0850. Oh, and by the way, your buddy sent me the stuff we got to try out. Big bite.
I'm ready to hear about it. Thanks, Joe.
All right, thank you.
All right, let's head on up, talk to Captain Brad Whitehead. Brad, now, we talk a lot about Lake Pickwick, but I know you do some guiding on Wilson Lake as well. So tell me what's been going on Wilson Lake.
Well, you know, Wilson sits there between Pickwick and Wheeler, and it's a big recreational lake far as in the summer. But when the summer's go away and the fall begins, and like right now we're fixing to get into a deep winter pattern. There's a lot of big fish caught on Wilson. It used to hold the, you know, world's smallmouth the weight for a long time, and it was caught on, you know, on Wilson Lake. So the crappie, still a lot of smallmouth getting caught. The crappie shooting docks, there's a lot of docks on Wilson Lake. And the dock shooting is fixing to kick off big time. So that's something that people can look forward to. One of the reasons it kicks up this time of year is because there's no boat traffic. There's nobody, you know, running up and down steps and on top of these docks, and they've stayed quiet for about, you know, the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you know, people really look forward to this time of year on Wilson Lake.
Yeah, you talked about that a little bit last week, about how important it is to be stealthy around those docks, and I know that the same thing plays into when you're shooting those docks. Do you have any other tips with regards to stealth? I think that's something that's overlooked, but I tell you, a lot of the really, really good fishermen that produce consistent big fish, they're very sensitive to the noise their boat is making on the water, and the noise that they're making in the water. And a lot of those guys I know down here on the coast love to wade for that exact reason, because they get away from their own boat. So do you have any tips related to just being more stealthy?
I do. Take a minute to stop before you run up on the pier. Another thing to look for also are the piers that are close to creek channels. You can get away with a little more banging around if that pier is sitting in 30 foot of water compared to if it's sitting in 12 foot of water.
Okay.
So that's something to look for. You know, a lot of these creek channels will turn, you know, make a turn where that pier is sitting at the end, and you're sitting in 30 foot of water. And that gives that jig a long ways to fall. So you're able to cover a big water column there, you know, from the top of the surface down to 25, 26 foot of water. So keep that in mind. When you're fishing Wilson Lake, it is a deep water reservoir. So stay away from your 6, 7, 8 feet. Look more into that 12 to 25 foot of water.
Okay.
So that's just something. It's a real clear lake, too. So that's something else you got to keep in mind, that those fish are going to be a little bit deeper than your other lakes.
Well, Brad, tell me about these big bass on Wilson. I know you do a lot of live bait fishing on Pickwick. How do you do it on Wilson?
Well, right now, and I know a lot of guys, they kind of cringe whenever you say this, but that Alabama rig or multiple jig rig that you might use is ticket. You know, we've had a couple of bass tournaments last weekend. Took 25 pounds, five smallmouth that weighed 25 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, they're coming off the A-rig. We simply rig them with a slider swim bait, multicolor, and throw it till your arm can't take it no more. So I don't look forward to throwing it, but I do look forward to catching 4 or 5 pound smallmouth on that A rig. So that's something. If you come to Wilson Lake in North Alabama, you better have an Alabama rig tied on.
Well, you can't argue with results. If folks want to get a trip with you on Wilson, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Give me a call at 256-483-0834 or check me out on Instagram at Brad Whitehead Fishing or Facebook at Brad Whitehead Fishing and shoot me a message and I'll get to you as soon as possible.
All right, Brad. Have a good Christmas, buddy. If we don't talk to you before then, thanks for the report.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.